Hey everyone, my name is Joel Radecki and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, some are summit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning, everybody. Well, come out to that kind of introduction. I'm like sitting over there like, oh, he's going to make me cry before I ever walk up here. What is this? My name is Justin. I'm the student director here at the River Church Waterford. If you don't know me, I work with the 6th through the 12th graders here, and it is such a pleasure and honor to be here with you. As you could tell, Pastor Jason's just getting back from his vacation, and I have, well, the honor to open up the Word of God with you this morning, and we are going to be in the 150th Psalm. So, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Psalm 150. Like Pastor Jason said, we're going to be closing out our Psalm series, and if you're like me, you might be a little sad about that. It's been a pretty cool series. Looking at these Psalms in depth is something I've not done, and it is very just amazing to see what they have for us and how they're all different, where they come from, and it has been an amazing series. I know we might be coming back to it in a few years, so if you have the book, I would hold on to it. We only did about 20 Psalms, and there's, well, 150. We're in the last one today. So as we wrap up this series, and we're looking at the whole book of Psalms, this psalm is kind of like a bookend. Now, if you're like me, you looked at the psalm and you see there's one big recurring theme. Pastor Phil talked about it, but it's praise. If you look at the psalm, it's very clearly about praise. And today, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. So before we get started, I want to ask you a question. What do you praise? What are things in your life that you praise? Now, praise can be a very churchy word, right? It's a word that gets thrown around in a building like this a lot. A word that we talk about being music and worship and singing songs, but we use that word in our lives too, whether we realize it or not. I mean, when we all leave here, you're going to go to a restaurant, right, and go eat with your family maybe. Maybe some of you go home, but some of you go to restaurants that you just praise. Like, they're the best restaurant. The Green Apple is amazing, okay? Some of you have sports teams that you praise. Right? I mean, the Lions didn't get much praise a few years ago, and something happened, and all of a sudden, everybody's a Lions fan, and everybody's praising the Lions. I work with students. They love to praise musicians, right? Certain artists and bands, they love to, oh, they're just the best. They're amazing. There's so many different things that we praise. Now, when it comes to the word praise, the definition kind of changes when it goes from the world to the church. Right, in the world, it's people, places, and things that we just think are amazing, right? Things that we like to give credit to. In the church, though, it means this like outward expression or this deep adoration and thanksgiving and honor towards the Lord. Now, it's amazing that we have two separate definitions there, right? One for, well, the world and one for the church. But the problem is those definitions in our lives tend to get flip-flopped. A lot of times, we end up praising things more than we praise the Lord. And the Lord's just the best. But the world gets our adoration and our honor and our respect. So my question still stands. As we walk through this passage and we walk through this psalm today, I ask each of you just to consider what in your life you praise. And if the way the Bible talks about praise is the way that you praise. Let's pray. And we will dive in. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for just the breath in our lungs and the ability to be here right now and being able to worship you, talking about how good you are and what you've done for us, Lord. And I pray if there's any hearts in here that need to be softened to your word, Lord, that they would be. Any ears that need to be opened, that they would be, Lord. And you just would use me to speak to everybody here with your Holy Spirit. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this psalm is 6 verses. So we're going to read it together, all right? We're going to start in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's beautiful, right? I love it. Now, when I met with a deacon from our church earlier this week, and I sat down, got coffee with him, and I was sitting there talking to him, and he goes, "Hey, Justin, what passage are you preaching on next week?" And I said, "Oh, it's Psalm 150. He pulled up his Bible, and he read it, and he goes, "That's going to be a whole sermon, huh?" I think Pastor Jason might be a little bummed out that he took a vacation this week, because this could be the shortest sermon of all time. I could really just come out here and say, "Hey, y'all, it says to praise, and that's what we got to do, and we could be done here." I mean, is this psalm, the amazing thing about this psalm, which is obviously that's not what's going to happen because I studied it, and I came to realize that this psalm might be one of my favorite psalms because it is so straightforward. It's not hiding anything. It's exactly what it appears to be on the surface. It is about praise. See, it uses the word praise 13 times within 6 verses. And this psalm is not unlike the other endings to the other psalms that we have, to the other books of psalms. See, if you read the book of Psalms congruently, you'll find that there is actually 5 books of psalms piled into one. 1 through 41, I believe, is book 1. 42 through 72 is book 2, and so on and so on. And each book has their own psalm that kind of bookend it, right? Each psalm is pretty similar, too, in the way they bookend. There's a thanksgiving and a praise, some sort of amen, but compared to the other endings, Psalm 150, which bookends the entire book of Psalms, is kind of different. As we walk through this, I'm sure you'll see why. So let's start off with verse 1. It says, "Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary." Where do we praise God? In his sanctuary. Very clear, very straightforward. There's no hiding here. No, where do we praise God? In his sanctuary, to the Hebrew people who wrote this. This is the temple. To us, this is the church. Where do we praise God? We praise him in church. Do we get more holy if we praise God in church? No, not necessarily. Look, let's keep reading. It says, praise God in his sanctuary. We praise God in his mighty heavens. In the church and everywhere else, we praise the Lord. Everywhere. This isn't just in the church and out of the church. This is on the earth, in our lives, in our work, in everywhere we go. We praise the Lord. It goes on. Why do we praise him? Well, we praise him for his mighty deeds. We praise him to his excellent greatness. This is where we praise God. Everywhere. And then it answers the question in verses 3 through 5. How do we praise God? It says, we praise him with trumpet sound. We praise him with lute and harp. We praise him with tambourine and dance. We praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals, and we praise him with loud clashing cymbals. How do we praise God? With instruments, right? It could be a trumpet. It could be a stringed instrument like a lute and a harp. It could be these loud clashing cymbals and all this loud noise, but it could be our voices. Our voices are an instrument. We sing songs of worship and songs of praise to the Lord. This is how we praise the Lord. But the amazing thing here is it doesn't lock us into one way to praise the Lord. It's not about the method in which we use to praise him. No, we could use instruments and we can use song. Do we get more holy if we sound better in worship? Nope. If we did, I'd be in a lot of trouble, y'all. My middle school choir teacher told me that I needed to, quote, lip sing because I was ruining it for everybody. All right? That's not a joke. That's Sarah Banks Middle School. All right? But for real, we are not expected to sound a certain way. No, we're just called to praise him. It's not about how we do it, whether it's through this song or through a prayer, and even through dance. When was the last time one of us here danced for the Lord? I didn't think any hands were going to go up, especially not at the 9 o'clock, okay? But no, we can even dance for God. Does that mean we're more holy if we dance for God? You can say no. Does that mean we're more holy if we dance for God? No, of course not. But the thing about worship and praise is it should move us, right? We should change from our worship. Our worship should move us to change. One author actually says when we worship, we should leave feeling different. We should be more informed. Our hearts should be more tender and thankful toward God. Our wills should be more determined to live for the glory of the most excellent and high God. Our praise, the way we praise, isn't the question. We could be a cappella, it could be an instrumental. We could praise with shouting, we could praise with a band, it could be an orchestra, we could praise with our dancing, and we could praise by lifting our hands. The Bible also tells us to do that. Psalm 134, verse 2 says, "Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord." The instrument in which we use to praise God is not the question when it comes to how do we praise. Where we praise, it's anywhere. When it comes to how we praise God, it's not about what we use. No, it's about, are we giving everything we have to God? Are we giving all of ourselves to him? Pastor Jason touched on it, but when I first started coming to church, I didn't believe in God. I started coming here with my wife. Now, I remember the first time I came here. I was sitting right back there, right where Vic and Diane are. I remember sitting there, and my wife, if you know her, she's a hand raiser. She loves it, right? So I'm sitting there, and she raised her hands, and I go, ooh. I don't know why she's raising her hands. We're just singing songs here, right? Afterwards, my buddy asked me how church was, and I said, it was great, except Juliana raised her hands during worship, and I didn't really like it. See, I didn't understand what she was doing. Even I, her husband, she had no concern for even I in when it came to worshiping the Lord. It wasn't about what I thought or what anybody else thought. It wasn't about what anybody thought except for the Lord. She had been worshiping the Lord, and it moved her to put her hands in the air and worship him. Now, it wasn't until a long time later, not that long, but a long time, I would say, where I came to know the Lord, and I remember when I first put my hands up in worship. I remember the breakthrough I had to get through of getting over the idea that everybody was judging me and getting past that to just raise my hands in the sanctuary, praise the Lord for who he is, and have no concern for anybody but God. That is what we're called, how we're called to praise. We're called to give him everything we have in our worship. It's not how in the exact method, it's how that we're giving everything. I had a teacher tell me, one of our Pastor Academy teachers, he told me, you know, if he said, Justin, if the most you ever get excited in life is a smile and this, yes, then if that's how you worship the Lord, there's nothing wrong with it. But the truth is, if the Lions were to win the Super Bowl right this year, and I'm going to run around my house screaming and shouting with joy and jumping in the air, but the Lord gets a smile, those things don't add up. We can be so quick to worship the things of this world. So quick to worship and shout for joy, and to be give adoration and honor if our kids are scoring a goal on a soccer field or our favorite musician's coming to town. We can be so quick to offer this kind of joy to what is seemingly trivial in the grand scheme of eternity, right? When we look at the Bible, when we look at life and death, in the grand scheme of absolute eternity and everything, it's trivial. But the truth is, I do understand. Because when it comes down to our life and everything going on in our world, when we are dealing with things where we don't know the outcome and we don't know where God, what God is doing, and we're struggling, it is so difficult to come to church and to really mean the words that we're saying in our praise. But giving ourselves to God in our worship is what we're called to do. Now, it's easy when, you know, Lions win the Super Bowl to jump for joy. Of course, it's right in front of us. But when our life is a struggle and we don't know where what's going to happen tomorrow and we're scared and we're worried and we're struggling, I've been there, I know it. And guess what? I know it's really difficult to worship the Lord through that. It's very difficult to keep moving forward and to come here and to sing a song where you mean every single word that you're saying. To sing a song where you're saying, yes, Lord, you are good. It's really hard to call him good when you don't really know in your heart right now. And you're worried. And sometimes it's important for us to know why we praise. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump around a little bit. If you have your Bible open to Psalm 150, feel free to stay in there. I'm going to jump around and we're going to look at some reasons why we praise the Lord. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 in verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Before anything existed, God did. Before anything existed, God existed. And God, when there was nothing, the earth was without form, it was void, there was only darkness, created everything. In verse 3, he says, let there be light. Then he separates the light from the darkness, right? He creates the day and the night, the seasons, the stars, the moon. He creates the ground that we walk on, the oceans, the waters in the ocean, every living creature. And then 26, God creates man. Verse 26, it says, he says, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created the entire world. The fact that we have feet to come to church and breath in our lungs to wake up and have to be able to breathe is from God. The very fact that we have anything in our life today comes from God. We're just using his stuff. This is all God's. God created it. It is his. We can look, we can go out, we can look out a window, we can go to a forest, and we can go to an ocean. There's a lake right across the street. You can look at the beauty of the world, and just on creation alone, we can see how worthy he is. Just on creation alone, we can see how worthy God is of every bit of praise that we could possibly have. We can look at what he's done. We can see his beauty throughout everything. But his worth of praise doesn't just stop there. We can keep going. See, after he creates man, the Garden of Eden, he puts mankind in the Garden of Eden, and mankind sinned against him. The first people, they sinned against the Lord. He created them, he gave them life, and he gave them breath, and they turned against him. Now, because of that, their sin separated them from God, and it separates us from God. And sin causes death. And sin, well, because of the original sin, we all have sin today, just like Romans 5:12 says. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all have sinned. We all have sinned. This is because of what happened in the garden. He created us, and that alone we have a reason to praise him, but he doesn't just stop with that. When we were separate from him and we had no way to be with him, he offered us a way to be with him in eternity forever through his son, Jesus Christ. He gave us a way. He does the most amazing thing for us. He offers his son as a sacrifice for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whomever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He loved us so much that he didn't want us to be away from him. He didn't want us to face the consequences of our own actions, so he sent his son to pay the penalty of our death on the cross. The cross that we should have been on, he went to. And then he rose 3 days later, defeating death and defeating the grave and giving us a way to have eternity with God in heaven. If that is not worthy of his praise, nothing is. I know there's some in here who don't really believe, because I was you. Can I tell you, when you're singing songs of praise and worship, they feel hollow, and you're just singing the songs, because if you don't know the Lord, you don't know the nearness of him. You don't know what it's like to experience him in his Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, if you're here and you don't know him, it doesn't have to be anything grandiose or special. You can pray in your seat to accept him into your heart. Right where you're sitting. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord and you believe in your heart that he has been risen from the dead, that you can be saved. When you do that, can I tell you, there is nothing sweeter than experiencing the Lord and praising him in his sanctuary. There's nothing sweeter than coming to know him and praising him for all the reasons he's given us. He's created us. He saves us. He's good to us. Even when our life is uncertain and we don't know what's happening, guess what? He doesn't fail us. He's consistent. He is good. He is just. He is fair. This is who we praise. A God who is loving and true. One that has been consistent all throughout Scripture. He has been who he said he was. From rescuing his people from Israel, or his people Israel from Egypt in slavery, to what Pastor Lee talked about last week, the fiery furnace, all the way to the redemptive story of the gospel. He has been who he says he is. This is who we worship. We have so many reasons to praise the Lord. Now, when it comes to why, we know how or where, right? Praise him anywhere. How? Well, we praise him with everything we have. But when it comes to why, we have all these reasons. When I think about why, though, a story always comes to my mind. See, Jason stole my thunder. I was going to tell you this story, and he already kind of hit it a little bit. It's okay, Jay. He's laughing. A few years ago, I was coming to the church, and Jason was discipling me, and we'd get together every week. Right, we'd come in, I'd come to his office, we'd sit down together, we'd work through a book together, and he discipled me. It was great. I am eternally grateful for that. And one week he called me, and he was like, hey bro, if you know Jason, that's a great impression. Hey bro, my schedule got double booked. And you know, I had this thing called popsicles with the pastor tonight. So I can't meet you, but instead, why don't you come in and you sit with me and you can kind of watch. Now, for those of you who are unaware, we have a very amazing Awana program here on Wednesday nights. It's a great program for kids where they come in and they learn about Jesus. And every couple times a year, we do this thing called Popsicles with the Pastor. Now, basically what it is we give kids a bunch of popsicles and they get to sit down and ask the pastor of the church any question they have. So I'm sitting there with Pastor Jason, and I remember very specifically the questions that were asked. I'll never forget them. I remember one kid raised his hand and said, Pastor Jason, are we slaves to God? I was taken back. I'm like, that's a second grader. I haven't even thought about that. Are we? I think so, yeah. Okay, whoa, okay. I remember Pastor Jason got the most question. The biggest question he got the most was, kids would raise their hand and say, Pastor Jason, is my dog going to heaven? Now, again, if you know Pastor Jason, you know he loves that question. It's his favorite question in the world. And I'm not even going to spoil it for you guys. I'm going to tell you, if you want to know the answer to that, feel free to ask him, all right? He would love to answer that for each of you, I promise, okay? But I specifically remember, this is the first time I really was around kids like this. I remember a kid just kept saying, why? Why this? Why this? Kids are very inquisitive. They love to just ask, why? And I remember a kid just kept going, why this? And I think about this because when it comes down to the why of anything, we can boil down and keep asking that question just like a kid. We can keep asking why for everything that's in the Bible. And God's truth is consistent. We can keep going and keep going. Why did Jesus have to die? Why did God give us a chance to sin in the garden? Why did he even create us? Why did Jesus have to rise again? Why did all these things in all of Scripture happen? We can ask that question over and over and over again. We can boil it down and we can come to a truth, and that truth is to praise. The truth is the reason and our purpose in life and to be here and to be in the presence of God is to praise him. That is what we're here for, to worship him, to offer him praise. See, Isaiah 43 puts it like this, in verse 21, it says, to the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. When we look at this psalm and we look at 150, the reason this psalm is so different from the rest is because the other psalms love to give reason for praise. But at the end of the day, we praise because we should. This psalm is really kind of void of the reason. It just tells us we need to praise. It just tells us we need to focus on the Lord. See, there's some people out here in the world who hear that our purpose is to praise God. And that's the whole reason that we're here, to worship the Lord. And what they hear is God is transactional. They hear that our purpose is to praise, and what they hear is, oh, you worship a selfish God who needs worship. And that is so far from the truth. They think that we worship a God that might be domineering because we have to worship him, but that is a fundamental misunderstanding of who the Lord is. Our God is not transactional. Our praise is a reaction. It's how we respond to what he's done. He saved us. He created us. He's done all these things for us. The only response that we could have is offering him praise, throwing our hands in the air, getting on our knees and saying, God, you are greater above everything. You alone are worthy of our praise. The Almighty God. We don't praise God because we have to. We praise him because we get to. That is the simple answer. That is why we praise. It's our purpose. Like verse 6 says in Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He alone is worthy. Everything should praise the Lord. Not some things over here, not some of us over there. Everything that has breath should praise the Lord. To the Hebrews who wrote this, that means themselves and the Gentiles, the surrounding nations and the Jews. To us who read this today, that is every living creature that has breath should praise the Lord. If that sounds familiar, that's because guess what? That's the ending to the whole Bible. Revelation 5 says, and I have heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and all of them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. This is how the Psalms end, with praise. Guess what? This is how the Bible ends. It ends with praise. Philippians 2 says, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise is our responsibility. It's what we're here for. Praise is how everything ends. And can I tell you, from my own experience, my own journey and walk with the Lord, praise has been, in worshiping him, has been this one of the most important things I have. It has changed my life. It's changed, moved me to be a different person, to love him more. If you're here and you struggle with praise, I know some of you do, and that's okay. I want to leave you with some encouragement. Like I said, I work with the 6th through 12th graders, and last year, every year we do a student growth community, right? It's great. Sunday nights we get together, all the students get together, they have their own Bible studies, and they hear a message, they play games, it's a lot of fun. If you know any middle schoolers or high schoolers that don't go, they should definitely come. It's a blast. But last year we did something different. We started worship. Now, that's an overhaul to start singing songs. I didn't realize that I started, and I was like, Phil, we're just going to go and hit play. Phil's like, it's not that easy, dude. And it wasn't. But from seeing the students start off by being kind of weary to worship the Lord, towards the end of the year, they were just praising him with everything they had. It was so cool to see. And I actually had a leader send me a video so you guys could watch it. Do you have that video, guys? Really cool. I know it cuts off kind of short, but it's okay. Here's what we had. It was so amazing to see these students worshiping the Lord and just giving everything they had to him. Every night that I got to experience that, it blessed me. And the truth is, if these students can worship the Lord with everything they have, I know every single one of you can do that too. See, when we look at Psalm 150, it answers a very few questions for us. Where do we praise the Lord? We praise him everywhere, in the sanctuary and out. How do we praise God? We praise him with everything that we have. Why do we praise God? Because he alone is worthy of our praise. In a minute here, the band's going to come out, and they're going to lead us in one last song of worship. As they come and you respond in worship, I would love to challenge all of you with something. I'd love to challenge you to actually consider if in your life there's things that you worship more than God. Things that get your praise other than the Lord. Things that you offer more of your worship to than you do him. And if there is, right now, and that you come to that, you can confess that to the Lord, bring it to him, and forsake it and turn away from that. If you're here and you struggle to praise, can I challenge you with something? Sometime, it doesn't have to be right now, but sometime this week, take time out of your day, set aside specific time to actually worship the Lord. Give him intentional time. Time where you actually are thinking about the words that you're lifting up to him, considering what you're saying and truly praising him. It could be in the morning on your drive to work. It could be at night before you go to bed. It could be with your kids. It could be alone. It doesn't matter when. What matters is you're intentionally praising him. And if you're here, I would urge you to focus on him through the praise. And during this last song, don't just sing it. Instead, no, mean the words that you're singing. Be intentional. Give all that you have to him and use it. Use this song to truly praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for everything that we have. Thank you for being able to be here, to be able to worship you, Lord, and to be able to praise you. And we thank you for everything that you've done, from creation to salvation, and just for the fact that we get to be here and praise you. We thank you for today. We thank you for this band, and we thank you for the hearts of everybody here, Lord. And I pray if there's anyone here who is holding themselves back in worship, Lord, that they would just give themselves to you. They would offer everything they have to you. We thank you. We pray all these things in your holy and precious name, in Jesus' name. Amen.